Hello, this is Father Hinchy again of the Stigmatine Fathers, sharing the fundamental charism of St. Gaspar Bertone, our canonized founder. We have been looking at the Trinitarian dimension of the Stigmatine charism. We looked at Trinity and mission, God as Father, missions and all the word mission, service, oblation, ministries, his great emphasis on individual persons, guests, and the sick, almost Benedictine in his taking care of the sick, the great sense of gentle care, and so on. So today we'll look at the Trinitarian dimension of community. So let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, O holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, in the religious life environs after Vatican II, community became almost a magic word. We got to do this or that for community. One of the traditional risks of community was actually to strangle it with so much legislation, rules, and not getting too close, never discuss vocation, religion, or politics. It was more or less you'd build up community by negativity. Then another offshoot of this is that men after a certain age had demands on the community. Well, I've served them for 10, 15, 20 years. They owe me this. So it's been quite abused, and I'd like to try here to present what St. Gaspar thought of it in his original constitutions. I think if you distinguish religious community from the Trinity, you may have a club which will not win the pennant. It's just a group of guys working on different things, talented, capable, and coming together as least as possible. So Father Bertone's idea was much different, and I'll try to express that here. So St. Gaspar's idea of community really would merit a study of itself. He dedicates Chapter 3 of this famous Part 10 to bringing about uniformity in everyday living. I remember there used to be a table for elders, or the superior's table, and they got different food. That was never what he thought. And that's not, I don't think, what most of them thought either. It was just done because we were used to the father, the family, or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, perhaps the original rule of St. Ignatius does not stress community as much as Suarez did. But it is this latter especially that St. Father Bertone has followed throughout this entire part on charity. St. Ignatius wanted every Jesuit to be a well-formed religious man, totally complete in himself, with very little emphasis on community. It seems to me Father Bertone's idea was, let us each share the riches of his heart so that all of us might be built up into the body of the Lord. For the Stigmatine founder, community always was a central interest and concern. The vows are meant not just to keep rules, but to assist, to enable an apostolic missionary charity. Not only uniting one to God, but also bringing about a total interest in others as Jesus in his pro-existence. He is the divine person totally for others. But St. Gaspar insisted on a fairness in externals. So first of all, common life. Likeness, even in externals, can become an end in itself. But its purpose was to bring about this elusive union or unity. The example of the early church is often described with theological idealism that everybody had one heart and soul. Well, then why were the Gospels written? Because there were heresies and difficulties, and Philippians, the two ladies, Syntyche or whoever, were having a squabble, and the whole church was in trouble. So these summaries of the Acts of the Apostles, to be together in the unity under the doctrine of the Apostles, celebrating the Eucharist, being dedicated to prayer, and taking care of the poor and charity. So Father Bertone idealized also the theology of Acts, and he didn't do it, but he made use of that idealization, which has served through the centuries as the inspiration, the ideal for community life. So the founder offers this suggestion to honor God in the other, number 228. Wherefore, St. Augustine says, let all help with one heart and soul, as if he meant to say, to be of one heart in helping. For this it is necessary to be of one soul. So Augustine adds, let each honor God in the other, for you have been made his temple. And we saw this with Suarez. When you see a gifted human being, thank God for the graces that he has, rather than criticizing or isolating. Let each honor God in the other, because God alone is the one who makes brethren live together in unity. Psalm 132, which we are, O quam bonum et jucundum est fratres habitare in unum. Oh, what joy it is to see brothers living as one. This remains the ideal. So for St. Gaspar, uniformity aids greatly in making God known to all, and as a consequence, uniting all to God. So this is all a quote from St. Gaspar, number 228. This too is a quotation from Book 7 of Suarez's commentary, Chapter 8, regarding special elements leading to uniformity. We're not there yet. We live together, but to be uniform in heart and mind and soul and interest and love is still a long way to Tipperary. Modern biblical commentaries speak of this psalm as one of the psalms of ascents, those psalms on the way to the temple, regarding perhaps the brotherly relationships meant to bind priests and Levites in the temple of the holy city. We're all heading toward the promised land. So we're on the ascent, we're on the climb, and ascent needs asceticism. So it is a neat little thought here that he developed this sense of community through uniformity, leading people to union with God. Then his extraordinary, St. Gaspar's extraordinary idea of recreation. I used to bristle under this a bit, personally, especially during exam time, because I never had enough time. Being of an ordinary IQ, it took a long time to learn stuff and another long time to remember it. I was always much consoled in Rome by the old Dominican that said it's a Thomistic rule that you don't know something till you've forgotten it 7 times, but do the best you can not to make one of those times exams. Anyway, the founder gives a surprising emphasis to this recreation when one thinks of his own personal dedication to the apostolic mission and to prayer. His enthusiastic ideal for ongoing formation, intellectual, apostolic, and spiritual betterment. He dedicates chapter 7 of this part, a full 7 and lengthy constitutions to this. It's remarkable, as we learn from his biography and his original constitutions, of his plan of total dedication to the church. He was a great enemy of mediocrity. And the Italians have a wonderful expression, tapabuchi, just to fill holes when they spring a leak. His plan calls for an intense spiritual life, serious study, lifelong formation, and continual updating. While his times did not know the concept burnout, this amount of recreation time that he required is important to consider. He tells us, while it is for health, the underlying reason may well be Aristotle's idea for friendships to grow. There has to be communication. As we know from St. Thomas, charity is likeness of nature, wishing the other well, and communication. So in this diverse apostolic thrust, we do need the central engines to be joined, to be united. The ancient monks saw recreation as beneficial both for study and work. The Stigmatine founder sees even in recreation a way of achieving the purpose for the foundation of the congregation. Conversion comes through conversation. And it's interesting, as we've seen in other contexts, Pope St. John Paul II often spoke of, in Catechesi Tridente, the enormous and irreplaceable value of one person sharing his or her faith with another. We do need the mass media, but we also need the conviction of good men and women sharing the dreams and hopes of faith. So in number 255, this is a rather dense constitution and can really be the object of meditation. He writes, "Since the principal end of our congregation, its purpose, is the conversion of souls, this is to be realized for the most part by conversing with our fellow man, speaking to them of divine things kindly and prudently, not with a billy club, but gently, gentle persuasion. For this, they derive much benefit from those conversations they hold among themselves, which quite often should be about the things of God." And we had a rule, you could not talk about vocation, religion, or politics. But it was the mentality of that time. So what Jasper is talking about here, this community of gentlemen, by rubbing shoulders with each other all day long with great appreciation of the gifts the other, would never talk down to somebody, that they would always treat them as brothers and sisters in this nobility of God's grace. So let the stigmatines in practice learn to keep silence during the prescribed times, to speak prudently and fruitfully, for this the best kind of silence, as St. Ambrose indicated. Pythagoras, St. Augustine Ambrose said, imposed silence on his disciples, that by keeping silent, once in a while you learn how to speak. Think it over, and not let these unruly opinions just flash out because of popularity or to impress somebody with your learning. David instead prefers that we learn to speak by speaking. How can we learn without practice, or make progress without exercising? And he concludes, "Thus let him who wants to acquire a manner of speaking which is prudent and circumspect, not repudiate the natural means, and at the same time let him make use of those means for properly safeguarding the tongue." So this lengthy constitution, again, is from chapter 8 of Suarez. So conversation and communion are built up this way. Then St. Gaspar adds another unusual aspect. And I don't know, I'm not a student of religious life or a scholar of religious life, but this idea of the pen, the apostolate of the pen, was very important to St. Ignatius. And when we read today in that symposium or that collection of the writings of St. Ignatius in Spanish, of the Bibliotheca Autoris Christianus, he has a book on the collected writings of St. There must be 600 letters. But the archivists tell us there's probably thousands of letters. So the apostolate of the pen are a wonderful font for a deeper appreciation of the spirit and mind of St. Gaspar Bertone, as are the letters of his that have come down to us. He also dedicated 5 constitutions to the exchange of letters among the confreres. His overall ideal is always one heart and one soul from the Acts of the Apostles, describing the early church. However, citing St. Basil, and this is very unusual, who quotes that the example of the apostles, Father Bertone was convinced that all good news should be shared. If something good happens, write about it and send out the word. We used to try to do this through the Chronicles. It's that old philosophical principle, bonum est diffusivum sui. In Constitution 259, St. Gaspar writes, St. Basil says, "He who through the grace of God has done something good should let this be known to others for the great diffusion of God's glory." He cites the examples of the apostles for this in his rule of monks. That is extraordinary, because we had that famous Stigmatine rule, Benedicta Buzeta Bassi Bassi, below take the last place, take the worst portion of Pastor Schutter, and so on, which is deferential and can be Christianized. But this is to share the good news. Don't let your light shine, be lost under a basket. So it's the balance of Scripture and no one line. So this is a very unusual thing. We still do this once in a while. In fact, you say, well, so-and-so, oh, he was a great theologian, oh, he was a real stigmatist. We did do it, but maybe it's something we could have all done and all do a little better. Again, this rule from the commentary of Suarez, where the Jesuit theologian is responding to objections posited early in his text for the sake of clarifying his position. Those who comment on Father Suarez state that his commentary on the Society of Jesus as an aspect of religious life is apologetic. He's not apologizing for it, he's defending it. Because it was so new, many thought that they were Illuminati or the enthusiasts carried away by an ideal into imprudence. That's not what it is at all. Suarez places the objection that conversation and communication takes too much time. And further, in much speech, there's always some sin lurking. And there's always danger of disagreements cropping up. So go to your room, lock the door, you'll never have an argument. He responds to this, and in his response, he offers the text cited by the Stigmatine founder in his constitution I've just read. If something, through the grace of God, something good has happened, you should let this be known to others. Letter writing still remains an excellent means of maintaining content and also for encouraging one another in the service of the Lord. Maybe our record here is not all that great. The idea of responding to letters, to people's requests. And admittedly, there are fewer of us and there's more to do and it's not always easy, but let St. Gaspar be a whisper in the night telling us maybe this is something we could do. So then, to summarize or take further aspects here, this Trinitarian ideal is part of this part 10 and so on, treats of the union of the members, and it's the longest of all the constitutions. The concluding constitution of this long part of the rule once more returns to the intra-Trinitarian life, as this is meant to move all believers that harmony and union really would make all for one and one for all, not as an ideal where one becomes ten and ten is unified in one. Anyway, this is the rule, 266. St. John Chrysostom, as we've already seen, elegantly comments on the words of John 16, that they may be one as we are one, says the Trinity, says this very well. Nothing can be compared to the harmony and mutual union of human wills, for by it the individual multiplies himself. If indeed two or ten persons agree among themselves, there is no longer one individual, but each individual has multiplied himself 10 times. And in this 10 you'll find unity, and you'll find the 10 in each individual. Further on he says, this is the excellence of charity, and how it brings it about that one can be multiplied and inseparable, that he can be found in many places at once, at the same time. The good Stigmatine can either be in Persian or in Rome. What nature cannot do, love can. That is really a very moving thing to read in my twilight years, and remembering the great Stigmatines that preceded me, many of them really were an inspiration of study and dedication in community. And I think of Father Mario Tice, who for many years was the superior of the General House during my years there in the General Council. And he was known informally as the most loved Stigmatine. He really was. He was good for errands and good for hospitality. And if he knew you were coming, there'd be special wine, always. And he never tired of it, even if sometimes, as often, it didn't even go noticed. So, along in this same idea, we know that in the theology of the Trinity, the great doctors like Augustine and St. Thomas think of the Trinity as an eternal exchange of truth and love. Well, isn't that a good description or conversation? how much emphasis is given by St. Gaspar on familiar and friendly conversation. The entire part 11 of the rule is dedicated by the Stigmatine founder to this exercise, so necessary to keep the community together. Once again, the central idea is Jesus Christ and his apostles. The Father sent Jesus, Jesus sent the apostles to stay together and to carry out this goal. So just listen to Rule 271. Let every stigmatine keep before his eyes the example of Christ the Lord, who though habitually living with men, even eating and drinking with them, nonetheless not only observed perfection, but also adhered to a state of life which was the most perfect. This is a good form of life in which to serve the church. Charity has been a major ideal and struggle, and maybe we can say failure. This is where much of the trouble may be found. The next constitution, 272. 271 was the example of Christ the Lord. 272 is the example of the apostles. Let everyone be mindful of the example of the apostles when their intimate dealings with men and women, becoming all things to all, so that they might save all, nevertheless kept a state of perfection. This seems to be what the late Father John Baptist Tomasi was trying to say on the 100th anniversary of the Stigmatines in November of 1916 during World War I, very bitter, difficult year. And Father Tomasi noted beautifully the paradoxes. Well, this paradox of being a very competent individual, deeply involved and committed to the community. Number 273, which follows these. The Council of Mainz, held under Leo III, established that ministers of the altar and monks are to abstain altogether from worldly business, and then added, still, a becoming occupation is not to be denied them for providing for their various needs. We read that the holy apostles also worked. So thus, in the conduct which the apostles observed in procuring salvation of souls, we justly conclude that to converse with our fellow men for this reason, according to the rule of our institute, is not contrary to the religious state. Father Bertoni saw it as one of the means to achieve the purpose of the community. So all of these constitutions, as well as the next few, which emphasize the example of the early monastic life, so it's Christ and his Father, Christ and the apostles and the early church, and eventually the monastic life, all are taken from the ninth book of Suarez that deals specifically with the apostolic mission or the means or the ministries which a society employs for the salvation of its numbers. Suarez's text covers almost one half of a column of his large tome. I mean, it's like a telephone book. So these are somewhat community ideas taken from the Trinity. This then leads us for a word or two on the early church. The immediate effect of Jesus' life in the Trinity was sharing it with the apostles and the early church. The apostolic life early on meant that life in union with Christ, revealed in the scriptures, present in the Eucharist, in a community of prayer and theological contemplation. Father Bertoni presents the Acts of the Apostles as his ideal, number 189. Let everyone keep before his eyes as a norm of this harmony what is read in the Acts of the Apostles about the conduct of the first faithful, who are the source in which all religious orders have their origin and form. They were of one heart and one soul. They held all things in common and distributed them among all and according with the need. They took their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and being in favor with all the people, and great grace was in them all. Acts chapter 2:44 following. Reminds me of some of the recent, let me call them heresies, of trying to restrict the Beatitudes to the life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, or the life of heaven. If you read the new catechism carefully, just from the aspect of the Beatitudes, you'll find this is the norm of spirituality in the Church. Blessed are the pure, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who suffer for the kingdom. So, again, in 226, the characteristic means for all of this is one of poverty. This achieves the highest degree proper to religious because of the vow and beautifully taught by St. Basil. He said, in the religious state, all things are in common, hearts, minds, bodies, and everything necessary for subsistence in the way of life. It's the same God common to all, exercises a piety role, the work is in common. The same thing was said by Cassian, who quotes Acts 4. They had one heart and one soul, and he observes that right afterwards it said, and they held everything in common. As has been noted, this again is taken from Suarez, number 232. However, this should not prevent, this is a favorite of mine, the needs of each being justly attended to according to the words, distribution was made according to one's need. This also goes back to Constitution 249. They're very similar, 232 and 249, to make exceptions for the specific needs of any individual. Therefore, 261, the Church, hence also in the Church, there was the ancient custom among the faithful of exchanging communicative letters, as they were called. Where do you think the epistles came from? From this practice. In this way, Catholics maintained contact with each other and gave testimony of their faith, as St. Optatus and St. Augustine record. So if there's any way of summarizing this little segment, it's to show the Trinitarian terminology in the constitutions for religious life. We are different persons in one with one goal, a variety of apostolates and one spirit that is the engine of them all. There is great emphasis on each one's personality, the needed relationships, personality and mission, the gift of ministries and ministry. The Father did not spare, but offered up his only Son. The great enemy here is mediocrity. Only God knows what he would do in the soul of each one of us if he were not hindered by each one of us. So it's a theme for meditation. It's not an accusation. We read, for example, Philippians 2:5-11. The Son of God, the Son, did not cling to his equality with God, but he emptied himself, being obedient unto death, and the Father raised him on high with a name above all names. Or John 16, even more sublimely. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you to the complete truth, since he will not be speaking as from himself, but he will only say what he has learned. He will glorify me, since everything he tells you will be taken from what is mine. Everything the Father has is mine, and that is why I said all he tells you will be taken from what is mine. John 16. That's why I'll spend a little time in subsequent reflections on the administration of the stigmatines of the property of God, that we are called to be administrators, stewards. The land is not ours. The houses are not ours. We are temporary guests, pilgrims, wayfarers on the way to the Father's house. And this is temporary lodging. This is like an oasis for food and drink and spiritual friendship and spiritual harmony. So we'll continue this reflection in our next conversation, Father Mattoni's own lived devotion to the Trinity, his unity in pluralism, various and proper ministries. The Trinity certainly was a central mystery for St. Gaspar Mattoni. Thank you for listening. So I'll conclude with glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, the Holy Spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be all worthy of the promises of Christ. And St. Gaspar Mattoni, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.